Hello and welcome to Mission Keepers, a podcast brought to you by the Oshkosh Area School District. I'm your host, Superintendent Brian Davis, and I'm excited to be able to share with you our colleagues' journeys to discovering joy in our work and in our personal lives. Our Mission Keepers podcast will give you an inside look into what motivates our incredible staff members who, on a daily basis, live our district mission of enriching our community by supporting students to lead creative and empowered lives. They are our true mission keepers. Through candid interviews, we'll hear unique stories from staff across the district, from principals and teachers to food service staff and custodians. Our goal with this podcast is that by sharing these stories, we will give you, the listener, a glimpse into what makes the Oshkosh Area School District such a great place to work and learn. We hope that you enjoy this journey with us. I am thrilled to kick off this episode of Mission Keepers with Beth Schendel, principal of the Oshkosh Area School District, Oshkosh Early Learning, who in her time with the district is making a profound impact. She is brilliant with four-year-olds, a national expert in guiding adults to make connections with kids, a dance and cheer mom, and a joy seeker with her Facebook post, hashtag joyful moments. Beth, we are so glad to have you on Mission Keepers. Welcome to the show.
It's really exciting to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your individual journey to the Oshkosh Area School District. So we know you've been here for quite a while, but give us a little bit of a glimpse back, a historical perspective, where you grew up, went to college, and what your journey has been prior to Oshkosh.
Growing up, I was born in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, and from there, traveled around Wisconsin as my dad's job changed. So I spent a little time in a really small town called Fall River, Wisconsin.
I know, we have a connection with Fall River.
I mean, no one's ever heard of it, and then here you knew where I was talking about.
Columbus, and Fall River, so where I was a superintendent, Fall River was a stone's throw away, so the Fall River Pirates.
You were the big city next door with Columbus.
Yes. Fall River is a suburb.
Yeah, of Columbus. So there through sixth grade, and then my dad's last job, he was in Racine, and so we moved to an unincorporated town called Tishigan, and I graduated from Waterford Union High School, so really close to the home of Tony Romo in Burlington, Wisconsin. Sure. So yeah, celebrities all around. You, right. Tony Romo, same thing.
Yeah, we're about the same.
This is about the same thing. Yeah.
Both have shows. Yeah. And, you know, about the same.
Absolutely. Went to college in La Crosse, went to UW.
Go Eagles.
And it's, if you haven't been, it's a really beautiful part of the state. So highly recommend a visit. And then got my first teaching job here in Oshkosh, teaching preschool. And knew when I was in college, I actually started out as a psychology major. And okay. I took like Psych 100, the very basic, you know, 400 people in a class.
Yeah.
And I was like, huge class. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of stuff that people need support with. And I left that first class thinking I want to be a part of that work every single day on the front end. Okay. Instead of waiting for people to need me, I want to go and be a part of what's happening every day. So shifted into education from there. That was an easy decision for me to go down into early childhood where brain development was starting being a part of it from the very beginning. So
it's really, this sounds like the psychology path is what led you into early childhood, being as proactive as you possibly can in that brain development phase to be able to support people in their growth.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, yes. And so when I came to Oshkosh, I interviewed, and this was back when you could wallpaper your walls with like rejection letters or places you didn't hear back from because there were so many teaching positions not available. So I started in Oshkosh teaching four-year-old kindergarten.
Okay. And that was about 2008?
2008.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It was a good year. Yeah. And it was right when we had shifted to universal preschool in Oshkosh. So when we first started having all of our children able to attend, so it was actually year three of the start of the program, but the first year of full implementation.
Yeah. So a big year. Actually.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So when you started then, were you in multiple schools? What was your assignment, I guess?
I taught four-year-old kindergarten in a few different sites around Oshkosh. I did that for a few years. So I was at community partner sites and bouncing around between different locations before I took the coaching role then.
Okay.
So then I shifted into being an instructional support teacher, going in and helping other teachers do amazing things with young children and their families before taking my principal role.
Yeah. So the coaching role was an initial step towards some leadership role. And it sounds like you enjoyed that work and to be able to take your knowledge and be able to help empower other people.
Yeah, it was not something I ever thought I would want to do. So leaving, I always imagined I'd be in the classroom until I retired. And it's been such a gift to go into educators' spaces and see the amazing things that are happening. I know that we're trying to get our educators into one another's classrooms, and that's where the magic happens. So I feel very blessed to be able to be in everyone's classrooms.
Yeah, that's great. So, and I think it's also important to know just from when people are thinking about people in principal positions that they have some knowledge of like boots on the ground, like that I've lived that experience before. I understand, you know, both the trials and tribulations and the joy that comes from that, and then can really help service those classrooms. And certainly when I've been around, when we've done tours of early learning centers, I can see that magic in your heart and your eyes like light up when we get around four-year-olds. So I could still see that love. So I think that plays a long way into the strength of your leadership as you move forward too, but knowing that that's something that's deep inside you.
I appreciate that. It's a good day when I get to be in classrooms with kids and teachers.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. So tell us a little bit about being a principal for Oshkosh Early Learning. So it's definitely a unique, you know, when most people think about like a principal role or have a principal role, it's like one building, one site. I'd have for elementary, I'd have kindergarten through fifth grade, or I'd have my grade level, if you will, at one building. Can you tell everybody just about the logistics and the dynamics of for Oshkosh Early Learning, things that you need to process and be able to work through, because it's definitely a unique position within your principal cohort here in the district.
Yeah, absolutely. So we like to call ourselves Oshkosh Early Learning is a school with virtual walls. So our school family is vast. It goes across the entire city of Oshkosh. And my car is really messy because I spend a lot of time driving to and fro. Okay. But a lot of the role really is about building connections, building relationships, just like it would be in a school building. You're just traveling a little bit further to get there. So bouncing in and out of different sites, supporting where needed, but really recognizing that our students are attending school at a few of our elementary schools, private preschools, private childcare centers, as well as Head Start. So really trying to navigate how to be as efficient as possible with time, but also being as present as possible where we have students.
That's great. So you had mentioned some community partners that we have. Can you just let people know where we are right now with our partnerships? I know we have some school sites, but certainly some community partners that play an integral role.
Yeah, a huge role. So bringing care and education out in the Oshkosh Area School District to where children and families already are. We currently partner with UW-Oshkosh Head Start. They have two locations. They are at Peace, as well as the Boys and Girls Club. They call that the Wilcox Center. We have Davis Child Care Center, Peace Preschool, and Peace Preschool is a really unique place. The entire basement of Peace Lutheran Church actually is a preschool center. Oh, so we have one whole hallway that has 3 and 4 year olds, and then you turn the corner, you got another whole hallway that has 3 and 4 year olds. So
a safest place to be during a tornado.
Hidden gem and a very safe place to be during a tornado. Absolutely. We also partner with both of our YMCAs in town and their child care centers. We have 4 year old kindergarten classrooms. And then we are in 3 school building locations, Carl Traeger Elementary, Shapiro STEM, and and Oakwood as well.
Yeah, great, great. So we certainly appreciate those partnerships as we're going here. So again, a unique role that you have, and it sounds like, you know, you're at a lot of different sites. So that's a unique position. What do you find joy in? You know, certainly you can hear your expression of joy just for being in that preschool setting, but can you talk to us maybe just about some ways that you find joy in the job? Because it certainly can be a demanding job, especially I think from a logistical standpoint and thinking about, you know, the responsibilities that principals have for safety and security, along with transportation, you know, and just a lot of things. And with our, you know, our most vulnerable population with our early learners. So that certainly can be stressful. So where do you find joy in it? And how do you just sustain your leadership over time?
It's really hard not to find joy when you go into classrooms. So making sure that in my week, I have a really good balance of being in classrooms with kids and teachers. The cool thing about working with four-year-olds is they get excited about everything. So you got sparkles on your shoes, they're excited about that. They just learned how to roll Play-Doh flat, they're really excited about that. They see the same letter that starts like their name, they're really excited about that. So finding those opportunities to figure out what lights them up, what excites them, and to be there as they make connections between what they already know and what they're discovering as they play and learn. So that's my favorite part.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I always enjoy our visits because I need a hug every once in a while. Oh, and that is the place to go for
it,
sure.
It is. You cannot have a personal bubble that's very big if you're going to work in pre-K. And so when you talk about the love languages, I think if I didn't work in pre-K, I'd probably need that touch a lot more. But fortunately, you know, I get a pretty hefty dose of that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So you talked a little bit about play and work. And so can you talk a little bit just about the early learning experience? You know, certainly that's evolved over time. Yeah. And it's that, I think, fine balance at the appropriate developmental age around literacy, pre-literacy skills, pre-math skills, mm-hmm. along with just the social skills that come along with play and just that dynamic. So can you talk a little bit about just what our approach is from a school district standpoint for that early learning aspect?
Absolutely. So the cool thing about the way that the Oshkosh Area School District has supported its preschool program, so it's universal preschool, which means it's free public education. And our grade level, actually, in the Oshkosh Area School District, we start at four-year-old kindergarten. Yeah. So anyone age four and older has a place in our community and our family of the Oshkosh Area School District. So with that, understanding that our role really is to be a universal intervention for all kids. So it doesn't matter where you live, what your family's financial situation is, you can have a high-quality experience with teachers who are experts in what they do. So I'll start by saying our teachers are all certified in early childhood education. They're DPI licensed, which means they needed to know about brain development. They needed to know how young children learn. So we weave in child-directed activities, teacher-directed activities. They're going to get early literacy and math skills that are in alignment with the work that we're doing throughout the rest of the district, but in a really playful way. So you'll see them at the carpet building connections and really building that safe and trusting school family. And when we spend time doing that, kids feel safe enough to take risks. And we want them to take risks in their learning so that they're willing to jump and leap from what they know, what they're used to, and where they can go next in their learning. So that has been a really important part of what we do, building that strong school family that is built on trust, safety, connection. And then from there, you'll see them working in small groups and playing in different learning centers. And it's amazing the complex content that four-year-olds are capable of, the vocabulary that they can build when you approach it in a playful way.
Sure. So it sounds like a pretty well-rounded type of experience that students would get for that half day that they would be there.
Absolutely. So when you think about the literacy and the math, for example, our kids are authors and illustrators long before they can ever decode text. And they'll read their books to you. I mean, if you've ever met a four-year-old, you know, they're amazing storytellers. And so helping them see that that makes them amazing authors and illustrators and building that appreciation for literacy at a young age.
So Beth, I also wanted to just acknowledge your work with Conscious Discipline. So it's certainly something, a program that we use to help adults make connections with kids across our system. I know you have the unique title of being a certified trainer for Conscious Discipline, which takes you all across the country. So one, congratulations and thank you for leaning into that work. I know you're passionate about it, but I know also know it takes a lot of time and effort to be able to do that. And for us as a district to be able to have somebody that's a certified trainer like yourself who can have that exposure nationally and then come back and support the district is a true treasure. So thank you for all your work on Conscious Discipline. Can you talk just a little bit about like what sparked your interest for Conscious Discipline and how that's developed over time for yourself?
Absolutely. So I knew from my first year teaching that I was going to need to think about things a little bit differently in terms of how I was supporting children and families. And I also knew that I was getting tired really quickly. And so the cool thing about Conscious Discipline is that it is for adults as much as it is for kids. And it really taps into shifting adult mindset and really supporting adults with being resilient and the very best version of themselves as they show up to work each day, so we can support kids with doing the same. So my why with this work is that I really want to build the type of world that I want to be a part of, that I want for my own children. And when I say my own children, I mean my personal kids that I have at home and all of the four-year-old kindergarten students and early childhood special education students that walk through our doors every day. Yeah. So I want to create that type of world. And for me, Conscious Discipline has been the way that I've found that can help us support everyone with showing up as the most authentic and the very best best version of themselves. And I think that's how we change the world, one person at a time, showing up in the world authentically and as the best version of themselves. So yeah. Working in preschool, so much of what we do is related to social and emotional work. And sure. So we know that it doesn't matter if kids have their letters and numbers memorized, if they can't get along with others and solve social problems, because all learning happens in the cradle of a relationship. And so really understanding that and digging into that, that's important work for us to be doing and figuring out.
All learning happens in the cradle of a relationship. Yeah. So that's one of my takeaways today.
So
thank you for that. Before we transition into just some personal insights for you, I want to just offer a chance to talk about, is there any way for our listeners to be able to also get plugged in with the early learning for the school district, where we could have partnerships and opportunities that may be available for anybody out there that's interested?
Absolutely. We're constantly looking for folks to volunteer in our classrooms. Working in early childhood, we have a lot of women and we love that, but we also love our children to see all sorts of variety of folks in our classrooms. So we're constantly looking for folks who are willing to come in, play with the kids, sit down with them, read books with them, share what excites them so that our kids can be inspired and excited by all of the community members in Oshkosh. So you can definitely apply to volunteer in that way, in whatever way you're most comfortable. Another thing that we often need help with is pulling things together. A big part of what we do is additional outreach with families so that they can continue supporting their child's learning at home. So pulling together kits for that means donating time. And if you're good at packing up bags at the grocery store, we could use your help with packing up kits and resources for families. And lastly, what we've found over time is that adults who are well can support kids well.
Sure.
And so continuing to support programming and the different needs that exist in our community for our marginalized populations, our families who may be in a situation temporarily where they need more support. Anything we can do to support the adults in our community to be well helps them in turn support their children. And our age is specifically impacted by adult wellness because they're 100% dependent on those adults to get to school, to get the nutrition that they need, to get access to the amazing activities that our community has to offer. So I think that's another big way you can support without ever stepping foot in a building.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for that. So let's transition for a little personal insights for yourself. So one of the things we love to do on Mission Keepers is know that our staff is not spending 24/7 time at the school or in the basement of Peace Lutheran or wherever you may be found, that you're a human being who has interests in a lot of things that are occurring. And certainly you are a busy lady. So talk just a little bit about some of the things that you love to do beyond being the principal at early learning. So I know it sounds like some travel and some adventure has been pretty core. Sounds like way back you had a college experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I started my love for adventure and travel probably as a kid.
Okay.
And we didn't go anywhere super exciting. It was like different places in Wisconsin. You know, everyone pile into the van, right?
It's all new.
It's, you know, so for me, it doesn't matter if it's just a new restaurant in town, a new path to walk down, but exploring new places, seeing how other people experience the world, making connections. But I took the opportunity in college to study abroad for a summer in Scotland.
Wow.
It was amazing. And I highly recommend anyone who has the opportunity in their educational experience to get out of the country and visit other places. Yeah. Definitely do it. I chose Scotland because my Spanish was a little rusty.
Okay.
And they spoke English. But I got there and I realized we all speak English. And yet I had a really hard time understanding some of what they were saying. Just like it would be if you come here. So
of course.
That was fun trying to figure out, you know, what that all means.
A little language navigation.
Absolutely. And then I was like, you're going to cook what in a sheep's stomach and ask me to eat it? tried some new foods there, but we got to live in a palace in Dalkeith. And it was like, you walk through the doors and you're like, royalty lived here. It was amazing.
On a campus or was it its own school?
It was its own school. Okay. Yeah, it was called Wisconsin and Scotland through the UW system. Okay. And so we got to live in a palace. I'm like,
amazing.
It was so cool. And each person who was there had a job. We had to keep the palace running.
Of course.
There's no one there other than us keeping it running anymore.
Princes and princesses.
It wasn't quite like that. Like no one fluffed my pillows But my job was sweeping the staircase and cleaning the fitness room. So it was literally one of the, like a spiral staircase, okay. you would call
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And I'm there like Cinderella sweeping the, you know, the staircase, beautiful. Singing while I did it. But there were no birds that helped. I don't know.
No, yeah, well, it's in your head, maybe.
It was fun. And it was amazing like how green experience. Scotland is too.
Yeah.
So it was just my first experience out of the country, away from home. And again, yeah. I think that really ignited my love to see how other people experience the world.
That's great. That's yeah. great. Any big trips coming up? I know you're traveling a lot for a conscious discipline, so that probably eats up most of your time.
That's a lot of the trips that I'm taking is for that. But what I love about that is I get to be a guest in other people's school families. And so I get to say when I go, if you could only eat one place, where's the best local place to go to eat? And you sure. get to hear, this is where the locals go. This yeah. is where you want to get your brisket from. This That's is where great. You got to try this. So
the housing is probably downsized a little bit from Scotland.
It's, though. You know, I haven't stayed in any palaces, yeah. unfortunately. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's all downhill from there. But yeah, no, just kidding.
So you're also a dance and cheer mom. So I know that that's important for you. So talk a little bit about that and some of the madness and trying to shuffle that.
Yeah. Well, schedule. When I took this principal job, my oldest was in 4-year-old kindergarten. So that in okay. and of itself has just been a journey of navigating her educational experience alongside sure. being a principal. But yeah. I'm in my taxi mom era. So when I leave here tonight, for example, I'm running different kids, different places, but it's amazing to watch your kids light up doing the things that bring them joy, even if yeah. it's not your thing, right? And so just seeing how they progress over time, the commitment, the drive that they have, they both have that for those things that they really enjoy. Sure. Nora scares me a little bit because she's doing cheer. She does a ton of tumbling, and as she's whipping herself through the air, you know, I took out accident insurance because it just,
good.
Yeah.
Good to be proactive.
But that has us traveling as well for different competitions
and
things like that. But and Maddie's dance organization performs in the community, nursing homes, local community events, which is fun.
It's so interesting to me, like just having, you know, in your case, 2 kids, in our case, 4 kids, and just, like you said, seeing them light up, but for totally different things, right?
100%.
Same family, you'd think there'd be like some similarities.
No.
It's just not. So, and that's what we've just continued to say, like, go explore and you got to find your thing.
Yep.
And when they find it, you know, it's just like, all right, whether I did it or not, we're going to play tennis, you're going to tumbling, like, we're going to do this.
And I'll be there, taxi mom, driving the way right
Yeah, now. Yep. Yeah, it's yep. great. Great Absolutely. Stuff. So good. So Beth, I also wanted to touch base with you. So I follow you on Facebook and I see a lot of your hashtags on joyful moments. So is something that you do consistently. And so one, the consistency is very impressive. I appreciate that. I'm sporadic on Facebook or most any of my social media, but can you talk just a little bit about the hashtag joyful moments and just how that started for you and maybe what energy that brings to you?
Yeah, well, I experienced the shutdown that happened in 2020 with COVID. I think a little differently than my husband did, for sure. It was difficult to be home, not have those connections with other people.
Yeah.
And I was just getting into a really dark place. I'm like, oh, I don't like the person that I'm becoming.
Sure.
And I had a wise mentor who said, well, what kind of a life is it that you're hoping for? Like, if you could picture life in the way you want to see it, how do you want to see it? And I'm like, joyful. I want a joyful life. And she's like, well, a joyful life is joyful moments strung together over time. No one has joyfulness all the time. If that's what you're hoping for, that's not going to exist. But can you look in each day to find the joy in each day, a moment, an interaction, you know, an experience? And so from there, I made it my goal that the last thing I did before I went to bed was just call it out for myself. This was a moment of joy.
Yeah.
And with that, then it just kind of grew from there. So now sometimes before I even get out of bed, I'm already like, oh, the sun was shining in on my face as I was getting out of bed. That felt really nice. That's a joyful moment. But it's about calling out those moments that maybe are mundane. Maybe you take a moment and recognize that they're happening around you and honor that, offer gratitude for that. And that has made a huge difference for me in my emotional health and mental health.
Yeah, I love that. Stringing moments of joy together, right? And knowing that it's not just going to be this euphoric ride, but being able to call them out and be intentional about them throughout the way. So,
absolutely.
It's
a state shifter for sure. Even on the hardest day, it's like, and there were moments of joy and being able to shed light on that and focus on that as I'm falling asleep makes me wake up in a much better place as well.
I love those tips. So thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Okay. So we're wrapping up. So just a couple of final questions for you. So what advice would you give for first-time parents who are enrolling their child into the district, considering the Oshkosh Early Learning Enrollment?
first breathe. You're sending your baby to school for the first time, and we've totally got this. It might be your first time through it, but we've got you.
Okay.
So again, you're going to be met with compassion and understanding and empathy, and we are going to work with you to figure out how to best meet your family's needs as far as location or transportation and morning, afternoon. You know, we want it to be a good fit for you as much as it's a good fit for us. And from there, if you walk into our pre-K classrooms, into our four-year-old kindergarten classrooms, there is so much joyful learning going on. And so trusting that your child's going to be in good hands, regardless of the location that they go to, that we've got the early literacy and math, as well as the whole child's social and emotional support. You can tell a difference when kids go into kindergarten if they've had that full four-year-old kindergarten year. And so while attendance is non-compulsory at age four, it's definitely a differentiator for kids and their future academic success. So we've got you. Ask all the questions, right? Like your kids ask at this age, ask why about 10 zillion times. Yep. As new parents bringing your kids to school for the first time, we expect you to have lots of questions. Ask away.
Yep. And we're here for you.
Exactly. So, we've got you.
So finally, Beth, what advice would you have for people that are thinking about pursuing a career within the early childhood education realm? So again, you took a path, you know, from psychology and found your way through that. But if there's other people that might be out there, and maybe people that we know would be of college age that are considering education, or we know in this case, there's a lot of people that are rethinking their careers. And maybe you're like, you know what, I really thought about it back 10 years ago, but I didn't pull the trigger on it. And now I'd like to get back into it. What advice would you have for people that are thinking about pursuing a career in early childhood?
If it's on your heart, go volunteer and give it a try. Go check it out. See what it's actually like in the day in, day out, and check out if it's for you.
Is that something that they could do with us?
Absolutely. Like come volunteer. Yeah, absolutely. The other thing is spend time with young children. And do you find joy in that experience? You do not have to be an expert yet. Sure. The kids will help you become an expert in what you're doing. So I would say come explore, check it out, and make sure you are expecting to have no personal space, but all the free hugs. and flexibility is huge. At our level, there is never a single day that goes as you expect it to go.
Sure.
And so you will never be bored, but you will always be surprised.
Yes. Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Beth, for your time. So I really enjoyed talking with you today. What I love about this podcast is for every guest that I have on, for our listeners, we try to take some tidbits away. And so I've certainly learned some things today. Learning occurs in the cradle of a relationship. Like, I love to think about that space in a lot of different contexts. Our early childhood experience is a well-rounded student experience. It's not just play and it's not just academics, that we have that well-rounded experience. And I think finally, just thinking about joyful moments as moments that are strung together throughout the day, and just our intentionality of being joyful and how that really is a reframe for how we approach the world. So thank you for those gifts today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun to talk with you.
And yeah, it was great. So again, we're lucky to have you on our team, Beth. You are a true mission keeper. So thanks for joining us. So thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Mission Keepers podcast. If you have ideas or suggestions for staff members for me to profile in future episodes, please reach out. You can find more information and a suggestion form on our website at oshkosh.k12.wi.us under district/communications. So until next time, remember to go out today, find joy in your life, and share it with someone. It will truly make the world a better place.